And I think sometimes we allow the world and we allow Satan to rob the peace that God only can give us. And it should be something that the world cannot take away. Also, as I was standing up here and sitting up here this morning, I was just thinking about our people. Folks, we come here, you all look delightful, you look cheerful. Well, most of you do. No, you do. But there's some heaviness here too, isn't there? I thought, you know, Bonnie's battling with the cancer, and she's had some good reports, and we praise the Lord, but something, you just, it's over you. Brother Dan battles regularly and ongoing with the MS. Sister Beth with the ALS. They are some of the ones that immediately come to mind. Who else you would say you're going through an ongoing battle just with health, whatever, just brings heaviness, a number. Yeah, go ahead, put your hands up there. Don't be a, no, not your wife. I wasn't talking about that. Put that in. No, just kidding. Life brings some difficulty, doesn't it? And God can give us a peace that passeth all understanding. And God can fill our hearts with joy. But it's something we have to learn. And something we can only get through a daily relationship. Just being stamped Christian. Let's look at it that way. Let's say the moment you got saved, God stamped you Christian. And in so many ways He did, doctrinally. That stamp alone doesn't just automatically give you an overwhelming peace the rest of your life. It's the daily relationship. It's the abiding in Him. It's the walking in the Spirit. And so let's be in prayer for one another. And I think that's why it's so important when we come together like this as a local body, that we encourage one another. We edify one another. We provoke to love and good works, because everyone's not feeling the greatest. And some had a really difficult week and a struggle. And I was just talking to Kai. Sorry, Kai, but I was just talking to Kai. She said at one point she had a migraine for 45 straight days. And she had a migraine yesterday. Praise the Lord. Something to rejoice in. It was a one-day migraine. For her. But anyway, we need to be ministering and to one another. And let's begin by praying in that direction this morning as we start into the message. Dear Father, we come to You in the name of Your Son. And my heart goes out to these that I've mentioned and then to others that raised their hand. And then there are some that just because of who they are, they'd rather not raise their hand. But I know, and others may know, the daily and constant struggle that they go through. Father, one of the things we also know is that You love them. And You'll never leave them. When they're in a low, in their spirit, they can always seek out Your Spirit. And You can minister to them. But Father, sometimes You want to minister to them through us. You sometimes, I believe, just directly minister to hearts. I'm so grateful You do so. But there are other times that You want to work through someone to encourage them and to them. And we will be that body. It's value to us meeting with each other. We're not here to just put on the internet, preach me, just bother one another. That will the world sticks every creature. We need help. We need being put back together. We need fixed. We need mended. We need prepared. And so I pray that You would help us in fulfilling that kind of ministry. And may that just not come from me today. I hope it does come from me. I hope I am that kind of person today. I pray that I'm that kind of person today. And I pray that our leaders will be that, those kind of leaders today. But I pray that it would come from each one of us who are in Christ today. Maybe there's a young teenage girl here who could just say something that would be really uplifting to one of the other girls or one of the other adults, and maybe a young man, maybe a senior encouraging a young person. May we be ministering to one another today. Guide now in our time that we have set apart for looking into your word and getting truths from you that will help us for daily living. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Turn with me in your Bibles to the book of Philippians, found in your New Testament, and to the second chapter, Philippians chapter 2. Philippians chapter 2. We looked at verses 1 through 4 last week, and today we are going to consider verses 5 through 8. It's not our destiny to try to look at four verses at a time, but I'm often worried. This paragraph is really too short. I wanted to take a graph. Verse morning, quality. How is it? Peter Clay, I've talked about before. Brother Barclay used to say that he wrote a book on the 10 most humble men and how he trained the other 9. Well, humility is one of those things that once you think you have it, you what? You lost it. It's the elusive humility. Humility is actually a mindset or an attitude of where it's not like you hate yourself. That's not humility. It's not that you become mad at yourself because of what you've done. That's not a sign of humility. Humility is really, it's about not yourself. It's not thinking of yourself. It's actually about thinking of others and not yourself. And when you get into that mode, that mindset, that attitude where others are more important than you are, then you are on the road to humility. And I think it's a road that you are constantly on and never achieving to its fullest potential. Look at verse 2, or verse 3 of this chapter, the verse we considered last week. Let nothing be done through strife or vainglory. If we were in strife, or we are struggling with vain glory, about glorying in ourselves and vain things, we're not humble. But in lowliness of mind, a humbleness of mind, let each esteem others. So it's an active activity. It's an attitude that's active. Let us esteem others better than ourselves. Look not every man on his own thing, then it says in verse number 4, but every man also on the things of others. So again, it's this ongoing activity. Humility, I think in a sense, you would think, wow, if I'm humble, then I probably don't ever enjoy anything. If I'm always worried and focused about others and doing things for others, where's the time for me? And I think just the opposite is true. I think humility is a key component in joy. We're talking about in the book of Philippians how to rejoice in the Lord always, learning to rejoice in the Lord always. And I think we can have this mindset that if we're focused on others, then we won't have joy. But I want us to see through this message that the opposite is true. The key to having joy is humbling ourselves. So I want to preach to you today about finding joy through your humility. And first of all, I want us to look at the example of God's sons for you. Now, it primarily starts with God's son, capital S, and I put it a capital in that. In the outline here, because it includes his son. I didn't want to put a small case because his son is included in this. I want us to look at, there are some examples in this second chapter of humility, and the great portion of it starts with the Lord Jesus Christ, God's only begotten son. So I want us to look at the examples, because I think it would really help us to see what humility looks like. It's an attitude, so, and it's a mindset. But I think it's something we can also see. Are there not, or has there not been some in your life, or are there not people in your life that you say, wow, when you think of them, you think of humility, you think of a humble person. So there's something we see, though it's a mindset, though it's an attitude, it's something that can also be seen. Let's look here in beginning of verse number 5 then, where it talks about our Lord Jesus Christ. It says, let this mind be in you which was also in Christ Jesus. Let's look for this mindset. Who being in the form of God, thought it not robbery to be equal with God. The Lord Jesus Christ was taking nothing away from God when he said, I and the Father am one. You know, depending who says that, that would be taking something away from God. But he didn't see it any type of robbery. He wasn't taking anything from God by saying that he and the Father are one. If you've seen me, you've seen who? You've seen the Father. Christ didn't. He wasn't taking anything away. And this is why. Look at the next couple of verses. Verse number 7. But, look at the next two words, made himself of no reputation. So, it's something he purposefully did. And I found this and meditate upon it this week. Humility is not something that just, wow, all of a sudden I'm humble. No, it's something you purposely strive to achieve. You won't just look up one day and say, wow, I'm a humble person. In fact, if you do, you just lost it. Actually, humility is a mindset or an attitude that you are focused on achieving. This is what the Lord did. He made himself of no reputation. When they were going around, saying, isn't this the son of Joseph? He didn't go around, no, I'm actually the son of God. Yes, I was born to Mary and Joseph, but no, I'm actually the... He didn't do that. He made himself of no reputation. He didn't try to point out to people, I'm this great being that's walking the face of the earth in front of you, bow down before me and worship me. That wasn't his idea. He made himself of no reputation and took upon him the form of a servant. If anyone should have been bowing down, kneeling and washing the disciples' feet, it should not have been by character, the Lord Jesus Christ. But by character, it was. Because he is humble. And so, the perfect example is our Lord Jesus Christ. He's making himself... He's not pointing out who he is, what position he serves. He's not asking others. He came not to be ministered unto, but to minister. He made himself of no reputation. He took upon him the form of a servant and was made in the likeness of man. And being found in fashion as a man, he humbled himself. There it is. And became obedient unto death. So in part, humility is seen in purposeful action, a purposeful mindset. It's also becoming obedient to things you don't have to be obedient to. In fact, if Christ didn't lay down his life, he never would have died. That statement there, we won't dwell on long, is worthy of sermons. The idea of him becoming obedient unto death, even the death of the cross. So also then, humility includes being obedient. Now, when I'm humble or you're humble, who are we being obedient to? I think we would find we're being obedient to the Lord. Because he's told us to be unique like he's unique. Be ye holy as I, the Lord thy God, am holy. And so he has called us to this unique manner of lifestyle and becomes for us then the perfect example. And so I can then, and you can then begin to study his life and see what humility looks like. Because if you would follow the life of Christ, it was a life of humility. Now what did he do in some of those humble situations? Sometimes he served, though they were demanding him. He didn't say, hey, I'm not going to do that if you're going to demand that of me. He served anyway. Sometimes they rebuked him and he still spoke with them and with pleasantry. Sometimes they forsook him and he still went after them, talked to them and brought them back into fellowship. See, those are things sometimes we don't do. And the reason is we're not finding humility. and we're not purposely going after it. So when someone forsakes us, if we're humble, we'll seek them first. If we're proud, we'll separate from them. Because we don't want to be hurt like that. They don't have the right to hurt us. You know, we elevate ourselves. We fail to see the truths of it. So as Christ would minister to others who are in need, do we find ourselves ministering to those who are in need? Or do we find ourselves thinking other people ought to be ministering to us? By the way, Pastor Terry and I, in this position of being pastors, should be, we're not always, but we should be the chief servants, should we not? And I think Pastor Terry is a phenomenal example of this. And I praise the Lord for him. He leads in this category. And I'm not trying to be humble in saying that. I am being very truthful in saying that. But the examples don't stop there. Let's continue on a little bit. But let's first back up and grasp two verses before we go forward. Look at chapter 1, because Paul's humility is also seen. Look at verses 24 and 25. Nevertheless, to abide in the flesh is more needful for you. He said, I'm in a strait betwixt two. I really want to go to heaven, but I find to abide here is more needful for you. Having this confidence, I know that I shall abide and continue with you all for your furtherance of joy and faith. He said, if it were for my joy, I'd want to leave and go to heaven. If it's for your joy, I want to stay and minister to you. Look at chapter 2. And I made a mistake in the outline. It's actually verse number 17. Yea, and if I be offered upon the sacrifice and service for your faith. You know, Paul was another great example. Here was somebody who was constantly serving others and thinking of others more highly than himself. And in fact, in this passage, he found two men, the two men we will use next as examples, Timothy and Epaphroditus, to minister to these people at Philippi. What was that? He wasn't finding people to minister to him. He was finding people to minister to them. Again, it's an example of his servitude. So, can you always minister to everyone's needs? Can you do that? But sometimes you're in a place or in a position, you say, I can't do this, but I'm so burdened, maybe I can find someone who could help me with this. Now you got to be careful, because if you're not careful with this, you're always passing the buck to someone else, so to speak. And you're always trying to get someone else to do what's your burden. You got to be really careful in this. But at times, Paul came to this recognition, hey, I can't be there and I can't do it, but I can find someone, actually I can find two men that can help them, and he did. That's showing the humility of Paul. He was thinking about them more than himself. Let's look at Timothy. Let's look at verses 20 and 21. Again, this is another example. For I have no man like-minded who will naturally care for your state. He's speaking of Timothy. For all men seek their own, not the things which are Jesus Christ. So he's saying Timothy is not someone who's seeking his own, but he's seeking the things that are of Christ. So Timothy's another example by Paul's testimony. And then look what Paul says about Epaphroditus. Wouldn't you love to name your next child, your next firstborn? That was off, wasn't it? Your next child, Epaphroditus. Think about it, Deidre. Just in case. Epaphroditus Espenshade. It rings. I love it. Let's go on. Grandma and Grandpa won't be happy. Anyway. Verses 25 and 26. Yet I suppose it necessary to send to you Epaphroditus, my brother and companion in labor and fellow soldier, but your messenger and he that ministered to my wants. For he longed after you. You know, someone who is humble longs to minister and to reach out to others. So we have some great examples here listed in this passage of Scripture. I don't think we can say as a Christian, I don't know what humility looks like. First of all, start with Christ. Look at those verses. They're impactful verses. and think of the humility of Christ making himself of no reputation and say, boy, am I making myself of no reputation? Or am I pointing to the things that I've done? Am I taking upon myself the form of a servant? Am I serving others? Am I making myself like others? Am I giving this humbling? Am I humbling myself and becoming obedient to things I don't have to obey? And look at the Apostle Paul. Look at Timothy. Look at Epaphroditus. Look at others. In the Scriptures, we have examples that are given for you. All these things are written for your learning. So we ought to be taking these examples and implementing them into our lives. And secondly, let's look at this, the exhortation. The message really today started last week. But you didn't have to be here last week to allow this message to impact you. Because really, let's just sum it up by looking again briefly at verses 2, 3, and 4 of where the foundation was laid. Fulfill ye my joy. This is Paul writing back to people of a church that he has established. He was never formally the pastor of the church. He was an evangelist that started this church and then handed this church to another man to minister. But he says, I want you to fulfill my joy, make my joy complete by being like-minded, having the same love, and being of one accord. He says, I want you to be unified as a body. Let nothing be done through strife and vainglory, but in lowliness of mind, let each esteem others. So he's saying, put off the vainglory, put off the strife, and put on the lowliness of mind and the esteeming one another. Again, put off looking just at your own things and put on looking at also on the things of others. Then look at verse 5. You know, whenever I think of Philippians 2, 5 through 11, the whole paragraph, it's like a crescendo of God in Christ. And I think about how humbly he walked upon the face of this earth. But one day, every knee shall bow and every tongue shall confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. Did you ever hear maybe a song, and all of a sudden it just keeps rising and rising and amplifying? Maybe the volume is going up and they're even drawing out the words. And I mean, it's just this phenomenal ending to the song. Well, this is kind of like the life of Christ. It was just constantly building, and it's not done. One day it's going to reach that, almost it seems like a final crescendo. Every knee will bow and every tongue shall confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. But you know what? That really isn't what this paragraph is about. The beginning of verse 5 says, let this mind be in you. So it really goes on to tell us what kind of mind, but the real exhortation of verses 5 through 11 is, let this kind of mindset be in you. What kind of mindset? The kind that takes on no reputation and is in the form of a servant and is in the likeness of man, and it's humbling itself and is becoming obedient to that which it really doesn't have to obey. And so really the exhortation of this passage, the exhortation that God has for you, is to let this mind be in you. I think we're tempted to just sit here in these few verses and revel in the awesomeness of Jesus Christ and miss why all that's there. It's all there to challenge you to be like Him. And it starts by having His mindset. you won't become like Christ until you start thinking like Christ. Until you start purposefully living like Christ. Until you start purposely thinking of others more highly than thinking of yourselves. I think one of the passages that I find it most, and we're, without turning there, is Matthew chapter 9. And I think I first had my attention drawn to this passage from Pastor Terry years ago when he preached. And he actually pointed out, I think Brother Champion that preached that and impacted his life. And Pastor Terry's of such of the age that he probably doesn't remember all this anymore. I don't remember preaching on that. Daryl Champion preached on that. I don't remember that. But if I remember correctly, that's how it came about. Christ was already tired. And one by one, he got done doing this, and somebody else calls him to do that. And while he's gone there, somebody else comes along and needs this. And in no way, and at no time throughout that very busy, brief schedule, does he say, I'm tired. Just wait till tomorrow. Leave me alone. Incredibly, he ministers to one after another. That was his mindset. He was purposely putting others before himself. Now, I want us to be careful. I am not calling us to exhausting yourself at the expense of others. I'm not calling you to be a Christian doormat. There's times when saying yes and I'll help is not very spiritual at all. Do you hear me? I know you want to hear me on that one. There's times that you just got to say no because number one, your relationship with God is more important, or number two, your relationship with your mate is more important, or your relationship with your family is more important, whatever it be. Just doing things isn't what we're calling you to. But we have to sometimes recognize the reason I'm not doing is just because I want things for myself. That is totally different. And Christ was one who decided he's going to think about their things and focus on those. So that's the kind of mindset we need. Now, I believe in your notes, I put a verse in there purposely. Am I correct? Romans chapter 12. It's in your note sheet if you receive one of them on the way in this morning. For I say, through the grace given unto me to every man that is among you, not to think of himself more highly than he ought to think, but to think soberly, according as God hath dealt to every man the measure of faith. That'd be a great verse to at least in part memorize. So that when our flesh is tempted to want to please ourselves, remember, we memorize the scriptures. Psalm 119 verse 11 would be one example. Thy word have I hid in my heart that I might not wait. To him that knoweth to do good and doeth it not, to him it's sin. So the memory of that verse, the memorizing of that verse may help us when we're tempted to want things for ourselves to say, wait a second, no. Romans chapter 12 says this, I'm not to think of myself more highly than I ought to think. Again, that great passage kind of crescendos in chapter 12 where Christ was enabled to minister to others, and where he also enables us to minister to others. So I want us to understand this. God has called us to a humility of service to one another. And he says this, I'm going to call you to it, but I'm also going to help you do it. This isn't something you have to do in your flesh. This isn't something where you've got to change your sleeping habits and your diet and your exercise program just so you have the energy to do it. No, he says, I'm calling you to this and I'll enable you to do it. Paul said God enabled him to do the ministry. And so whatever God is calling you to do, God will help you to accomplish it as long as we do it in His name. Turn with me, if you would, to 1 Peter. 1 Peter. And let's go to chapter 5. Chapter 1 calls us to gird up the loins of your mind. Be sober and hope to the end for the grace that is to be brought unto you by the revelation of Jesus Christ. Wow, is that verse helpful. It's 1 Peter 1:13. If you want to look at that later, it'd be really helpful to you. And where, again, he talks about grace is going to, that's what's going to help you to do this. And how we need to guard our mindset and have a sober way of thinking. Well, let's begin in chapter 5 with verse 5. And this is the passage I'm going to bring this message to a close with. Where it says, likewise, ye younger, submit yourselves. Remember, Christ made himself of no reputation. So you younger people of the church, and that can go up through a number of generations almost, or a number of decades, you should submit yourselves, you should submit yourself unto those that are older, those that are elder. In this passage, it also talks about the elder being the leaders of the church. And the Bible does call you to submit yourself to the leadership of the church. This passage also would not just be referring to one of our young people, one of our teens, or even younger than that. This passage is called to our 20-year-olds and 30-year-olds and 40-year-olds and 50-year-olds to find someone who may be older than you in the faith and really put yourself under them. Submit yourselves to them. Yea, all of you be subject one to another. Peter's not the only one that says this. Paul does. Submit yourselves, therefore, in Ephesians chapter 5, I believe it's verse 21. It's talking about in the context of the church, he says we all ought to be submitting. So it's not you all submit just to Pastor Terry and I. Pastor Terry and I also ought to be submitting to you all. That's the way the body functions. The head at time, now we're not the head, Christ is the head, but the physical, every part of the physical body is to minister to every other part of the physical body. There is no one part of your physical body that just has authority and isn't supposed to do anything. And so he said, I want you all to be submitting to each other. You know, our church can have great strength if we would all show great humility. I think sometimes I can't show weakness at all. That's not the ministry of Christ. In fact, he calls us to meekness. He calls us to quietness. He calls us to serving one another. So Peter here, writing to former people that were in his flock who now are scattered abroad in the wilderness, he says, I want you to submit yourselves to the older. Yea, I want all of you to be subject one to another and be clothed with humility. For God resisteth the proud. Let me ask you, how many of you want to take life and do it without God's help? Raise your hand. You say, I'm willing to do it on my own. I don't need God's help. In fact, I want God resisting me. As I try to do something, I not only don't want God to help, I want Him pulling against me. How many of you say, I want God pulling against me as I go through this life? No hands. So that means we need to say, okay, now I need to humble myself. Because when I'm proud, God's resisting me. And as a Christian, he is calling us to humility. Look at verse number 6. But he giveth grace. Isn't that great? I can't go on without touching on that. He'll help you if you're willing to humble yourself. You say, man, if I humble myself, I'm going to become everybody's doormat. God will help you. And that's not what we're calling you to. Verse number 6 then says, humble yourselves therefore, because that's God's way. Humble yourselves under the mighty hand of God, that He may exalt you in due time. And isn't that exactly what Philippians chapter 2 is all about? He made Himself of no reputation. He took upon Himself the form of a servant. He was made in the likeness of man. He humbled Himself and became obedient unto death. Therefore, one day every knee shall bow and every tongue shall confess that Jesus Christ, you say, He'll never get anywhere living that way. He's King of kings and Lord of lords. And one day every knee shall bow and every tongue shall confess. We have heard the way down, or the way up is the way down. And truly, He says, you humble yourself. And if you ever need to be exalted or lifted up, I'll take care of it for you. In fact, look at the next two. Then cast all your care upon Him, for He cares for you. Since He has your back, I hate to put it that way. It sounds like I'm minimalizing what God is. But since He has your back, cast all your care upon Him. Be sober, be vigilant. Why? Because Satan's on the attack trying to destroy you. Okay, let's picture this. Okay, here you are, Joe Christian. And you've got Daniel the lion. Get up here, Daniel. We know of Daniel in lion's den. So come on, Daniel. Daniel says, I'm not sitting in front of this church anymore. He always calls on me. It keeps him awake. He's always falling asleep over there, and so I keep him awake by calling him up here. No, and actually, Leanne, he's not. He's a great brother of yours. All right, let's say Daniel's a lion seeking whom he, trying to devour me. Well, if I humble myself, God will help me, but if I am proud, God's also going to be resisting me. How would you like, if you've got a lion trying to attack and destroy you, for God to be at that moment resisting you? That isn't very good. I'm the next meal. But if I humble myself, God will help me. So He says, first of all, think about it. We all ought to be submitting to each other. Secondly, you've got a lion trying to devour you, which is Satan, trying to destroy your life. And here you are in your proud spirit, finding yourself with no help from God. That God's resisting, even though Satan's attacking. You can sit down. Wasn't much for a lion to do, was it? Go back to your den. Finding joy through humility. We think we got to seek our own in order to be happy. The most blessed and happy ministers I find in the Word of God are those who are looking after others. The Lord Jesus Christ, the Apostle Paul. How many of you see Apostle Paul hanging his head, kicking the stones, griping about life? He was having the time of his life, ministering to others. Who can you reach out to and minister? Who can you lift up that's heavy-hearted? You say, yeah, but I got my... Oops. That's pride. That's a bit of selfishness. It might be ministering to your mate, even though they're not perfect. It might be picking up the phone and calling or texting someone a message of encouragement. It might be helping someone. We got Vacation Bible School coming up. It might be getting in there and helping. Again, we are called to, the main purpose of this paragraph is to let this mind be in you. We need to change the way we're thinking. And instead of thinking about ourselves, begin to think about others. Following the example first of Christ, then also of men like Paul, Timothy, and Epaphroditus. You might ask right now, Lord, how do you want me to begin humbling myself? Maybe you're known for being a selfish kind of person. Maybe you're known for kind of seeking your own things. How may I help solve someone's issue? How may I get in there and be helpful to someone? How can I edify? Who do you want me to minister to? How can I help my children instead of tearing them down, or help a relative or neighbor or whoever it may be? Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus. And that finding joy you only find through finding humility. Let's pray.